Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Fishing. Fishing in our text for today. And I have some very fond memories of fishing. My grandpa, he had a small boat, and about 8 miles from my parents' house was a rather large lake. And so we'd go out, and especially when I was in high school and junior high, and my grandpa would arrive promptly in the morning, and we'd spend half a day out on the lake. You know, poles in the water by 8, you know, maybe a quick swim at 2, and then back home with our haul of fish, ready to be cooked, I guess first cleaned, and then eaten, right? The whole table filled with family members, you know, the cooked fresh fish right there. It was wonderful. My grandpa was a very good fisherman. His freezer was always stocked, always brought in a good haul. In more recent years, being out in the same boat, things haven't been quite so successful. You know, sure, you know, once in a while you might bring in a good-sized walleye or, you know, a half a dozen perch. But there have been several times going out when you get skunked. Nothing. Just absolutely nothing. And so you convince yourself, just 5 more minutes. I know that fish is going to strike the line. Just 10 more, 15 more minutes. And then you come to a point where you reluctantly put the fishing poles away. Frustrated, you turn the boat's engine back on and you make your way for home empty-handed. It's exactly what happened with our disciples in the text. For the entire night, they labor. They're hoping to catch some fish. And as dawn breaks, they still have nothing. Probably to the point of giving up. Just about ready to come in during the early morning. But then who shows up? Jesus. Jesus on the shore calls out to them and tells them, "Hey, just throw your net on the right side of the boat. It'll be easy. You'll just bring in a bunch of fish." And so they do. And what do? They catch 153 large fish. It's a miracle. After laboring all night and then in one try catching that large a haul. So big, in fact, that they can't even bring the nets into the boat. They have to drag them behind the boat to get them back to shore. Well, upon seeing this miracle, upon finding out what actually is going on, John is the first to realize. He goes, "It's the Lord! It's because of him that this miracle has happened." And so Peter, right, we all know Peter, he's very quick to act. And Peter is so excited that Jesus is there that he jumps overboard. In a fit of excitement, he just jumps over the side of the boat into the water to meet Jesus. You see, the disciples, they had seen, they had heard everything Jesus did. His miracles, his sermons, his Last Supper, his death, his resurrection. And now this, the third time they see him in his resurrected body. They see, they believe that everything Jesus has done, he's done for them. So what does Jesus do on this particular occasion? He shows them what their purpose is, what their vocation is. Now, vocation isn't a word that's used very much anymore in our society. In our culture, it's a word that's kind of falling away. But what it means is it means your calling. Your job, what you're supposed to do. And Jesus blesses people with certain vocations, including the disciples. After all, when the disciples were faithful to Jesus' words and their own vocations, what happens? They catch fish. Remember, the disciples were all fishermen before they started following Jesus. And so what happens? Well, I guess most of them were fishermen. And so what happens? But they go back to their old vocation. They know how to fish. They need to put food on the table. And so what do? They go back. And when they listen to Jesus' words, things seem to work out. But As far as their career was concerned, fishing was about to become a thing of the past. Fishermen would no longer be their vocation, at least not professionally. Jesus gives them a new vocation, and to be honest, it's kind of sad because it happens a little bit after where our reading ends for today. But Jesus says, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" To which Peter says, "Of course I do. Feed my lambs." Jesus gives them a new vocation. They are to be the pastors, the leaders of the early church. Feed my lambs. Take care of my people. But Jesus hasn't given that vocation to everybody. Some are meant to be pastors. Some are not. But that doesn't mean that you are without a calling. It means that you will never be without a vocation. For what does Jesus do? He gives you a job to do. He gives you a vocation. In fact, he gives you multiple vocations. Yours might look like motherhood, fatherhood. You might be a husband, a wife, or a worker. You might be a brother, or a sister, or a cousin, or an aunt, or an uncle, or a farmer, or a teacher, or a secretary, or a government worker, or a member of Zion Lutheran Church. These things are vocations. There could be any number of different vocations. In fact, each of us actually does have multiples. And I'm sure you know what yours are. The question is, are you faithful? Are you faithful in your vocations? Are you faithful in those places where God has put you? If you're a parent who has not taught their children the faith, or who does not teach their children the faith, no use of scripture in the household, I'll tell you, you are failing to fulfill your vocation. If you're a spouse who has wandering eyes and look where you ought not to look, you are being unfaithful in your vocation. If you are a child who does not listen to your parents or your elders or other authorities, you are not being faithful in your vocation. And so the Lord would say, repent. Turn away from your unfaithfulness. The Lord calls you to be faithful in carrying out the jobs he has given you to do. But what does our text say? But the best way to do your God-given jobs is to listen to Jesus. As the disciples listen to Jesus, they haul in 153 fish. As we listen to Jesus, he strengthens our faith. See, these vocations aren't just on Sunday morning. We're not just supposed to hear what Jesus has to say on Sunday morning, but every single day of the week. God's word needs to inform our lives that we might live faithful lives that are pleasing to him. As Jesus says, to love our neighbors as ourselves. To live lives of service in whatever role God has placed us. But then comes the frustrating thing about vocations. The frustrating thing is that a mother doesn't always feel appreciated for raising her kids. A father or the head of a household does not always feel appreciated for teaching the faith. A worker doesn't always feel encouraged or appreciated for working diligently. In fact, just like the disciples, sometimes in our vocations, whatever they may be, we work, we toil, we labor all night long or all day long or all year long or all life long. And we don't see any benefit. We don't see any earthly gift for our faithfulness. And the truth is, it can be frustrating. In fact, it is very frustrating. We would rather be like the disciples, right? Where's the 153 fish? Where's the yield for all of my labor? In fact, we want, just like the disciples, we want so many good things that we can't even bring them into our proverbial boat. We want to have to drag our blessings behind us because they're too numerous to bring in. But that's not the way it works. It's not the way it worked for the disciples. The disciples didn't get to see the fruits of their labor until Jesus granted it to them. And neither will we. But look at what Jesus does. Look at Jesus' life. Our perfect Savior. He was faithful in every single vocation. A perfect son to his mother, a perfect son to his heavenly father, a perfect son to his stepfather Joseph, a perfect servant, a perfect friend, a perfect teacher, a perfect miracle worker, a perfect Savior. Jesus was perfect in every single way. He was faithful in every single one of his vocations. And what did it get him? Got him killed. Jesus dies. Even in the midst of his perfection, he is mocked, he is beaten and bloody, he is crucified on a cross. He dies. Jesus' perfection earns him death. The truth is, that's precisely why he had to be perfect. It's so that his perfection could cover over all of our flaws. So that his blood would wash away every time that you have failed in your vocation. So that his innocence, his perfection could become yours. And he could die under your sin. Jesus' vocation is to make you holy. And he does. You are forgiven. See, without the death of Jesus, he's no longer perfect. He can't be a perfect Savior unless he dies. Kind of a poor reward for all of his faithfulness. But look what God grants him. This is still the season of Easter. And Jesus is perfect, and Jesus is faithful. And what happens 3 days after Jesus dies? He is risen!
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is restored to life. And now he rules both heaven and earth as a bodily, resurrected king. That means Jesus lives and works in this world still. And how does he do it? Through you. Through me, through all of those who have been granted faith, Jesus still works through your vocations. See, that same faith that grants you eternal life, that same faith that grants you forgiveness, is also the same faith that drives you to do what is faithful and good according to God's word. And so, like his disciples, on this, the third Sunday of Easter, you've heard all about Jesus, his miracles, his sermons, his supper, his death, his resurrection. And you might have the same confession that John did. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who is doing this. Or in other words, you believe that Jesus has done everything for you, that without him, there is no forgiveness. Without him, there is no life, nor salvation, nor anything good. There is no reason to live our vocations faithfully without Jesus. But we do have him. We do have a Savior who grants us these things. And so let's be like Peter. Jump overboard. Act. Let your faith come out in what you do, in what you say. Maybe God hasn't placed you in a place where you have the opportunity to jump off a boat. But you do have an opportunity to serve those around you. You do have an opportunity to be faithful in your jobs, your roles, your vocations, wherever God has placed you in this life. And in fact, that's exactly what God has done. That's exactly why he did it. He specifically placed you in your very specific life, in your family, in your job, that you might serve. Serve God, for sure. Serve your neighbor. Through faithful actions, faithful words, using the word of God to inform you And so here's the best part. The Lord gave you a vocation this morning too. He called you to his church. Dear faithful members, this morning you have been faithful in at least one vocation today. The Holy Spirit has gathered you here to receive from your Lord and Savior. His body and blood on this altar, his death, his resurrection, and his forgiveness. Thanks be to God that our Savior always fulfilled his vocations. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds and our vocations in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.